Last week we began talking about Perek Chaf of Sefer Shoftim, so we'll just recap a little bit of what we spoke about last week, and then we'll move on to complete the Perek Amir Tzashem this week. I'm just going to share my screen with you so that you can see the psukim here. If you happen to not have a Sefer Shoftim in front of you, which I imagine most of you don't, here you are. Okay, so just again a little bit of background with what's going on. Excuse me. We're in the middle of essentially a civil war between Shevet Binyamin and the rest of Bnei Yisrael. And this is as a result of the incident of Pilegesh Begiva, where a man from Shevet Levi was traveling and he had his Pilegesh, his concubine, was with him. They went into this city called Giva, which was a city in the area of Shevet Binyamin. They were treated very poorly. They weren't offered any place to stay overnight. And then those of you who are familiar with the story or tuned in last week know that unfortunately the Pilegesh was abused overnight by this group of thugs, this group of criminals, and she died as a result of her trauma, of her abuse, and as a result of that, this Ish Levi cut up her body and sent a different limb to each of the Shvatim, essentially sending them a very gruesome message that something terrible happened here and something must be done. These people must be held accountable for their terrible actions. And Bnei Yisrael were essentially incensed. They were furious with what happened, and even the more so that this happened almost in public, and Shevet Binyamin didn't do anything about it, and they didn't actually even take these people they didn't hold them responsible for their actions. So the rest of Bnei Yisrael gathers together, and that's Perek Chaf, and they're trying to figure out what to do. They're trying to decide what to do and how to act and how to hold these people responsible for their heinous, terrible, terrible crimes. So we learned last week that they decided to go to battle against Shevet Binyamin. They did start with a peace overture and try to throw it back into the lap of Shevet Binyamin and say, "Listen, you take care of it and you hold these people responsible." Shevet Binyamin did not respond. I'm sorry, in kind, and therefore Bnei Yisrael decided they had to go to war and they had to defeat Shevet Binyamin because of this terrible incident and because Shevet Binyamin was not doing anything to hold the people accountable. So we learned last week that they came to ask the Urim V'Tumim. The Pasuk says in Pasuk Yud Ches, and we're not going to read all the Pesukim again, but just to review, Vayakumu Vayalu Beisel Vayishalu Beilokim. They came to Beisel, which many of the Mefarshim say was actually Shiloh, just refers to the house of God, but it's really Shiloh, where the Mishkan was. And they asked the Urim V'Tumim, and they said, Vayomer B'nei Yisrael Miyala Lanu Batchila LaMilchamim B'nei Binyamin. Who should go up first? Who of the Shvatim? Which of the Shvatim should go up first to fight Shevet Binyamin? Vayomer Hashem Yehuda Batchila. And Hashem said that Yehuda should go up. Yehuda should go up first. They're the ones who should go first. We read that Bnei Yisrael then went up the next morning. They went to battle. And unfortunately, Shevet Binyamin slaughtered. The Pasuk says in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayashchisu. They slaughtered Shnayim ve'esrim elef ish arza. They slaughtered 22,000 people from Bnei Yisrael. And it seems no losses, no casualties are mentioned in the Pasuk from Shevet Binyamin. It seems that they did not lose many. If they lost a few, perhaps, some of the Mefarshim say they may have lost a few here and there, but they certainly did not lose many in this battle. But Bnei Yisrael lost 22,000. This was something significant. Pasuk Chav Bey says that Vayischazek ha'am, they gathered themselves together, they regrouped, they got their strength back, and they got ready to do battle again. They weren't going to just retreat after one battle. And the pasuk says in Chaf Gimel, Vayalu Bnei Yisrael Vayivku Lifnei Hashem, that they went up and they cried and they asked Hashem, Vayishalu Hashem Leimor Haosif Lageshes LaMilchama in Bnei Binyamin Achi, should I go up and prepare and approach them to go to war again? They Vayomer Hashem Alu Elav. Hashem's response, the Urim V'Tumim response, that yes, you should go. They do go on the second day and do battle. And once again, Pasuk Chaf Hei, Vayashchisu b'vnei Yisrael od. I'm sorry, you don't have the pasuk in front of you. Let me scroll up here. Okay, Vayashchisu b'vnei Yisrael od Shmonas Asar Elef Ish Arza Kol Eila Shalfei Charev. Once again, another 18,000. So first B'nai Yisrael loses 22,000, then they lose 18,000. Now B'nai Yisrael doesn't know what to do with themselves. They have Pasuk Chavav, they come up back to Shiloh, Vayivku, Vayeshvu, Sham Lifnei Hashem, Vayatsumu. They come, they cry, they fast, they do tshuva, they bring olos and shlamim, the Pasuk says. And then Pasuk Chav Zayin, they finally ask, the Aron is there, and they ask the Urim V'Tumim, Pasuk Chav Ches, Pinchas, Ben Elazar, Ben Aaron HaKohen, Ha'osif od latzeis la melchama im b'nei Vinyamin. Should we go and wage war and do battle with b'nei Vinyamin? Im echdal, or should we stop, should we not? Vayomer Hashem alu, ki machar etnenu v'yodecha. You should go up, because tomorrow I'm going to give them into your hands. Tomorrow you will be victorious. B'nai Yisrael in the next several psukim, they strategize, they set up an ambush, and they prepare to defeat Shevet Binyamin. We read through the psukim last week, essentially through pasuk Lamed Dalid, and the pasuk says that essentially B'nai Yisrael drew the B'nai Binyamin out of Giva. The city was named Giva. They drew them out of Giva. The soldiers from Shevet Binyamin came out, and B'nai Yisrael then engaged them in battle. The pasuk says in Lamed Dalet, "Vayavo mi neged lagiva aseres alofim ish bachur mikol Yisrael." And at that point, the 10,000 that laid in ambush, there were 10,000 soldiers from B'nai Yisrael that were laying in ambush. They came out to Hamilchama Keveda, and there was a very intense battle. Vehem lo yadu ki nogas aleim hara. They were not aware. Shevet Binyamin was not aware that things were actually not going in their favor at this moment. And we'll see. Let's read Pasuk Lamed Hey, and then we'll kind of recap and share a couple of ideas. Vayigov Hashem es Binyamin lifnei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows Bnei Yisrael to defeat Shevet Binyamin. Vayashchisu Bnei Yisrael b'Binyamin b'yom hahu esrim v'chamisha elef u'mea ish kol eila sholev charev. And Bnei Yisrael on that day defeated 25,000 soldiers from B'nai Vinyamin, Kolela Sholev Charev. They were all soldiers, they were all armed people, and they defeated these 25,000 soldiers from Shevet Binyamin. Okay, so many, many of the Mefarshim, and this is what we ended with last week, just want to pick up with this week before we move on. Many of the Mefarshim struggle here that it seems that B'nai Yisrael were doing everything right. It seems that they had. Not only were they well-intentioned, but they were actually doing the right thing. They recognized that a terrible, heinous, tragic crime was committed against this Pilegesh. They recognized that the people who committed this crime had to be held accountable for what they did, and they had to be brought to justice. Shevet Binyamin was not doing it, so the rest of Bnei Yisrael decided they have no choice. They have to come up and they have to do it. They have to wage war with Shevet Binyamin. So if that's the case, and Bnei Yisrael was doing everything right, so then the question begs itself: why did they lose the first two battles? The first battle, the pasuk says they lost 22,000 men. The second battle, the pasuk says that they lost 18,000 men. And only in the third battle are they finally victorious. With Hashem's help, finally they're victorious, and they end up, you know, slaughtering the 25,000 from Shevet Binyamin. But the first two battles, they lost 40,000 people. You know, so what happened here? If Bnei Yisrael were in the right and they were doing everything that they were supposed to be doing, so why the big losses? Why these two battles that really did not go their way? I'll share one idea. I'm doing this in a little bit of a different order than we ended with last week. This we didn't share last week, but the Malbim says that if you look at the Psukim, the Pashat Pshat and the Psukim, so you see that there are three main differences between the first two times Bnei Yisrael consulted the Urim V'Tumim and went to battle, and the third time. So what's the difference? So the first time, if you look back at Pasuk Yud, I believe it was Yud Ches, let's look back. If you look back at Pasuk Yud Ches, so what did Bnei Yisrael ask? Bnei Yisrael did not ask, should we go to battle against Shevet Binyamin? That's what they should have asked. They didn't ask that. Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayishalu Be'elokim, Vayomru Bnei Yisrael, Mi Yalelanu Batchila Lamilchamim Bnei Binyamin. Who's going up first? They had already made up their mind. They already knew that they were going to go to battle. Now again, well-intentioned, they were doing the right thing. But that's not the way that you ask a question. That's not the way that you come to the Urim V'Tumim and ask the Ribono Shel Olam, ask the Kohen Gadol as the Shaliach and the Urim V'Tumim in terms of, you know, however that works with Ruach HaKodesh or you know, a little bit of Nevuah, however that works. But you don't come and ask a question of who goes first. You come and ask the question, should we go to battle, should we not go to battle? That's the question that you should ask. And they didn't ask that question. And therefore, they lost. Therefore, they were defeated. Even though they were trying to do the right thing, but they were arrogant. They had already made up their minds. And therefore, they lost. And says the Malbim, that if you look at the next time they ask a question, which is Pasuk Chav Gimel, but first you got to look at Pasuk Chav Beis. What happens? After the first loss, the first battle, Vayishazek Ha'am Yish Yisrael, Vayosifu La'aroch Milchama, Bamakom Asher Aruch Hashem Bayom Arisha. They prepared themselves for another battle. Before asking the second question, they prepared themselves for another battle. They got ready to fight again, and only then, once they prepared themselves, once they got ready to fight, then in Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayishalu Ba'Hashem Le'mor, Ha'osiv La'geshes Ha'milchama Bnei Binyamin Achi. Should I go back to battle? What do you mean, should you go back to battle? You just regrouped, you just retrained, you just, you know, reloaded all of your guns and all of your cannons and everything, you got all ready for battle, and now you come and ask the question, should I go to battle? That's not a sincere question. That's not a sincere question. And not only that, but he says that if you look at the Pasuk Chav Gimel says that they cried, Vayal b'nei Yisrael, before they asked the question, Vayivku lifnei Hashem ad ha'erev. It sounds like they were sincere, they were crying. However, explains Rabbi Yitzchak Kirzner that why were they crying? Were they crying because they wanted to do tshuva? Were they crying because they recognized that they had done something wrong and they needed to fix their ways? Or were they crying out of pain? Or were they crying because they had just lost 22,000 men and they were crying emotionally because they were broken? Not because they wanted to do tshuva. Not because they recognized that what they did was wrong. And what's the proof? The proof is that they went ahead and did the same thing again. They made up their minds a second time and got ready for battle before even asking the question, should I go, should I not go? So you see clearly that they had not done tshuva. You see clearly that they still had that arrogance, that they believed, as the Malbim said a little bit, in kochi va'otzem yadi, that we can do this, we're stronger, we're bigger, we can defeat Shevet Binyamin. They did something wrong, we did something right, and therefore we're going to win. And only then they asked the Shaila, you know, it's just as almost like a token, you know, throw a Kadosh Baruch Hu a bone, let's ask him a question, you know, should we go, who should go first, you know, should we continue to go? What do you mean, should you continue to go? You're all ready to go. The tanks are rolling already, and then now you're asking the Shaila, should I go? That's not the way to ask a question. So the Malbim says that the Musar Haskel, the lesson for us in these battles, is that whenever we consult, in this case, certainly they were consulting with the Urim V'Tumim, so unfortunately today we don't have the Urim V'Tumim, but we have the mentors and the rabbis and the Gedolim that we consult with. How do we come and ask the question? And so many of us, myself included, we know we've asked Shailas, we've asked questions, with already the answer that we want in our minds. And we kind of maybe, you know, push it a little bit and push that agenda and try to get, you know, the posek, the gadol, the rav, the rabbi to answer, you know, the way that we're looking. You know, the way that we have in mind, our perspective, our mind, which is already a little bit made up. And that's not the right thing, says the Malbim. Because when it comes to something like this, you're asking a shali, you're asking the Urim V'Tumim, ask legitimately. Ask a real question. Ask a sincere question. Should I go, should I not go? Not having already made up my mind that I'm going, and now just who should go first? Yehuda should go first. No, should I go, should I not go? And if you're going to ask the question the second time, don't get ready first. Don't make it clear that you've already made up your mind. Ask the question sincerely. What do you want, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do you want me to go? Do you not want me to go? That's what's important, says the Malbim, to ask questions legitimately with sincerity, not to have the arrogance to say, Kochi Votzem Yadi, that I can make up my own mind and I know what I'm doing and I'm just going to, I'll ask the Shaila because I know I'm supposed to ask the Shaila, but I'm not really interested that much in what they have to say because I already made up my mind. That's not the right way to do it. That's how the Malbim understands, he says, in terms of the Pashup Shad of the Psukim, what's going on and why they were defeated in these first two battles. The explanation that we mentioned at the end of last week, which I'll just mention again, and this is Rashi and the Radak, and the Malbim also mentions this idea as well, and that is these Mefarshim say, and it's based on a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, and I believe it's a Gemara also, these Mefarshim say that really what was going on here was that Bnei Yisrael were being held accountable for something that they had done wrong in the past. And what was that? That was the incident of Pesel Micha. A couple of prakim earlier, there was a Pesel, there was an idol that was created by this person, Micha, and he actually created like this sanctuary for it, and he hired a priest to serve as like the Kohen, around this Pesel. And eventually Shevet Dan, the entire Shevet Dan, adopted this Pesel, adopted this idol as their own, and they ended up worshipping Avodah Zarah. Again, they were well-intentioned in the beginning. At first, they intended that this would be a conduit, this would be a medium for them to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but as we know, with these things, it spiraled out of control, and they ended up just literally worshipping Avodah Zarah, this Pesel Micha. So Rashi and the Radak explain that the reason why Bnei Yisrael lost so many lives in these first two battles, 22,000 the first one, 18,000 the second one, the reason why was because they were being punished for not showing the same zeal and the same enthusiasm in putting down Pesel Micha and removing Pesel Micha from Bnei Yisrael. Because when Pesel Micha happened, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that didn't bother you so much. Okay, so they're worshipping an idol. Shevet Dan is worshipping an idol. Nunu. It's not me. I'm going to turn a blind eye. I'm going to turn the other way. I'm not going to look. You do you. I'll do me. I'm not going to worry about it. You know, Pesel Micha, it's not my business. But when it comes to Pilegesh Begiva, when it comes to abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, when it comes to something that society can't function this way, then you stand up. Then you're passionate. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, good. Yashakoach, you should be passionate here. This woman was abused and she was killed. You should be passionate and you should stand up and you should bring these people to justice. But you should also do the same when my kavod is at stake. Not just when there's something in society. Not just when there's a danger to human life. Not just when people are not acting properly towards each other. But when my kavod is at stake, when people are worshipping Avodah Zarah, and to that you say, oh, okay, you know, that what they do is their business, what I do is my business, that's not the right thing. For your kavod, you're willing to take such a dramatic step, all of Bnei Yisrael gathers together, nobody goes home, we learned last week, until this matter has been settled, and they go out to war against Shevet Binyamin. Nobody rests until these people were brought to justice. Amazing. Givaldik Yashikoach, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when my kavod is at stake, when Avodah Zarah is on the line, people are doing Avodah Zarah, you have to act with the same zeal, you have to act with the same enthusiasm, you have to react and stomp it out the same way that you want to rid Klal Yisrael of this terrible travesty. And says the Alshech that if you look at the numbers of the members of Bnei Yisrael that were lost in these first two battles, of course there are no coincidences. Says the Alshech, Bnei Yisrael, the first battle lost 22,000 people. 22. We know it are the letters of the Aleph Beis, the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, and those are the letters with which the Torah was written. So says the Alshech, that's to hint to them that these 22 letters of the Torah, meaning the whole Torah, you decided not to stand up for the covenant of the Torah. You decided to let Avodah Zarah seep into Bnei Yisrael. You decided to allow an entire Shevet to worship Avodah Zarah, which is against the entire Torah that I've given you. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to kill 22,000 people to remind you of the importance of my kavod in addition to society, in addition to your kavod, to remind you of the importance of the Torah HaKadosha in addition to maintaining a person's dignity and a person's personal health, in addition to all of that. But I'm going to take 22,000 people to remind you of that. And what's the second battle? 18,000. What's 18,000? Says the Alshech, 18 we know is Chai. So Chai means, so the symbolism here is that you've decided to ignore the Kel Chai, the living God. You've decided to ignore HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's alive and who breathes life into this world. And instead, you go for a dead dog. Instead, Avodah Zarah, which is meaningless, which is lifeless, which is nothing in this world. That's what you're focusing on. That's what you're allowing to seep into Bnei Yisrael. I'm going to kill 18,000 of your men. To send you that message. So according to these Rishonim, these Mefarshim, that was the punishment for Bnei Yisrael for Pesel Micha, that they lost these first two battles. And then finally, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu had taught them that lesson, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, at the end of the day, Shevet Binyamin is deserving of death. Shevet Binyamin is Chayev Misa, and therefore I'm going to let you be successful with those people and to eventually eradicate this terrible, terrible deed from Bnei Yisrael. Okay. Let's now pick up with Pasuk Lamed Hey again. I think we just read it, but we'll read it again, and then we'll read the Pesukim and discuss the storyline towards the end of the Perek. Okay. So as we said, Pasuk Lamed Hey, Vayikov Hashem Es Binyamin Lifnei Yisrael. And here also, in such stark terms, the Navi teaches us that finally when Bnei Yisrael do win, finally when Bnei Yisrael are victorious, right, on the third time, the third battle, but who really was victorious? Vayigov Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who really won this battle. Binyamin is Lifnei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Bnei Yisrael to defeat Shevet Binyamin. But at the end, it's Vayigov Hashem. Not again, according to the Malbim, not creeping back into that mistake of Kochi Va'otzem Yadi, thinking that Bnei Yisrael were the ones because of their strength, because of their strategy, and they had a strategy, which we'll learn about, but that wasn't it. Vayigov Hashem. It was miraculous, just like all of these battles you read throughout Sefer Yehoshua, Sefer Shoftim, all the battles that we learn about are all miraculous. They're all from the Ribono Shel Olam, and it's always clear when Klal Yisrael is doing the right thing, it's Vayigof Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of them, and He defeats the enemies. And when they're not doing the right thing, Rachman Alitzam, when they're doing the wrong thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not protect them, and sometimes allows them to be defeated. But here it's Vayigof Hashem Es Binyamin Lifnei Yisrael, Vayashchisu, Bnei Yisrael b'Binyamin v'Yomahu 25,000 umeya ish kol eila sholev charev. There were 25,100 men that were killed from Shevet Binyamin, and this was the conclusion of the battle. Pasuk lamed vav v'yiru bnei Binyamin ki nigafu. So bnei Binyamin see that they're being defeated. They see they're being defeated. V'yidnu ish Yisrael mekom leBinyamin. Bnei Yisrael eases up a little bit. Now this is interesting in terms of the military strategy. Because normally when your enemy is feeling defeat, I mean, I'm not an expert general, but I think that when your enemy is feeling defeat, that's when you got to pounce at the end, because you got to finish him off. But here, no, Bnei Yisrael lets up. Right? Bnei Yisrael, Vayitnu ish Yisrael mekom levinyamin. They give them a little space, they give them a little room, Bnei Yisrael let up. The soldiers pull back a little bit. And they allow them to retreat. They allow them to go back south. The Mefarshim explained that people of Binyamin had come out of the north side of Giva, and they were traveling north to come out towards Bnei Yisrael to battle. The battle was on the north side of Giva, and now the Bnei Yisrael soldiers let up a little bit, and the Bnei Binyamin from Giva retreat a little bit back south. And the reason why they're doing this, the Pasuk says, is Kivatchu el ha'orev asher Samuel ha'giva. Because you have to remember that there were actually three camps of the Jewish people. There was the force in the north that had drawn the Bnei Giva, the people from Giva, out of the city in order to defeat them. There was another group off to the west. This was the 10,000 men that was off to the west waiting in ambush for Bnei Binyamin to get back down closer to the city. And then there was another force that actually entered the city, which we'll talk about in a minute, and does a lot of damage and essentially destroys the city while the soldiers of Binyamin were drawn out of the city by the first group of battalion of soldiers. Pasuk Lamed Zayin, V'ha'orev hechishu v'yifshitu el ha'giva. So this orev is referring to the third group that was meant to destroy the city. So they quickly hurried up when they saw that this was happening. Vayivshetu el ha'giva, and they quickly went into the giva, into the city. Vayimshoch ha'orev, vayimshoch. Rashi says it means they blew the shofar, but it means that they essentially, this was a battle cry. They rallied in battle. Vayaches kol ha'ir lafi charev. So all of the Binyamin soldiers were drawn out by the first battalion. The second battalion is waiting in ambush, 10,000 men, and this third battalion goes into the city and essentially wipes out the city, destroys the entire city. Pasuk Lamed Ches, v'hamoed haya li'ish Yisrael im ha'orev. So the Jewish army had strategized in advance, and they planned this all out. And this was the sign. The moed was the meeting place, or the sign that Bnei Yisrael had with the battalion that was laying in ambush. Herev laha'alosam mas eis he'oshan min ha'ir. That as soon as they light the city on fire, because as this was you know commonly done in those days, that once the city was wiped out, once the people were killed, they would raise the city, they would burn the city. So once the city was lit on fire, that would be the signal for the other battalions, for the other soldiers, that the city was defeated, and then it was time to close in on this Binyamin force, the force from Shevet Binyamin, that was now kind of trapped outside of the city, between this burning city and between the Jewish battalions, the rest of Bnei Yisrael. Pasuk Lamed Ches, I'm sorry, we just read that. Pasuk Lamed Tes, Vayafoch Ish Yisrael Bamilchama. So Bnei Yisrael now turned their backs in battle. So the Mefarshim say, the Malbim specifically says that the Psukim here are kind of going backwards a little bit and describing in more detail the battle that just took place. So essentially, Bnei Yisrael draw Shevet Binyamin out, and then Vayafoch Ish Yisrael Bamilchama, they turn their backs and they make it look like they are running away from Shevet Binyamin. So first they come out towards Giva, Shevet Binyamin comes out to greet them, and then they kind of pretend that they're scared. Bnei Yisrael turns on their heels and they start running, and Shevet Binyamin chases them. Uvinyamin heichela hakos chalolim biish Yisrael kishloshim ish. So Shevet Binyamin thinks, hey, this is good. You know, we just won the first two battles. The first battle we killed 22,000. Second battle we killed 18,000. This battle presumably is going to go along the same lines. So they begin killing the soldiers of Bnei Yisrael. The Pasuk says they killed about 30 people at that point. Ki amru, ach nigof, nigof ulefanenu kamilchama harishona. And they say, we've got them. They're in our hands. They're in the palm of our hands, just like in the previous two battles. Pasuk mem. But now the fire, the masses from the fact that the flames are rising. So the fire begins to rise from the city, and this smoke is billowing out of the city. Vayifen Binyamin Acharav, and you can picture this almost like in Lahavdi, like a movie scene. But you picture this like Shevet Binyamin, you know, they smell smoke, perhaps they hear the crackling of the flames, and they slowly, as they're fighting Bnei Yisrael, they slowly, you know, turn around to see what's going on behind them, and they see Vihine Allah Khalil Ha'ir Hashamaima, and they see their city is engulfed in flames. Now this is not a good sign. They see their city is engulfed in flames, and what is that going to do? The morale is going to be destroyed. Pasuk Mem Aleph, Ve'ish Yisrael Hafach. So immediately, Bnei Yisrael see what's happening. The first battalion that was pretending to retreat. So they now see that Shevet Binyamin has just realized that their city has now been engulfed in flames, and they are now panicking a little bit. Bnei Yisrael pounce. Ve'ish Yisrael Hafach. Bnei Yisrael turn once again back towards Shevet Binyamin. Vayibahel Ish Binyamin. And now Binyamin totally panics. Ki ra'ah ki naga alav hara'ah. They see that they've lost this battle. They see that their city is in flames. They see that the Bnei Yisrael are bloodthirsty, especially in light of the last two battles. And they're now turning back on them. And they say, okay, this is not good. We are trapped, and we're going to be destroyed. Pasuk Mem Beis, Vayifnu Lifnei Ish Yisrael El Derech HaMidbar. So they turn before the Jewish army, and they run towards the desert. Vehamilchama hidbi kasu. Now the Mefarshim explained that if you think about this on a map, Bnei Yisrael, the first battalion is coming down from the north, trapping Shevet Binyamin. Right, Giva's here, which is on fire. Shevet Binyamin's in the middle, so the first battalion is here. The next ambush is coming from the west to trap Shevet Binyamin, and this burning city is down here, and there's also another battalion of Jewish soldiers coming out of the burning city now. So they're really surrounded on three sides. The only way they have to travel is east. So they travel east towards the desert. That's the only direction that they have to go. Va'asher meha'ari mashchisim oso besocho. And the pasuk says that the battle, that they eventually got stuck, they eventually got trapped, and they were being defeated in this battle. And as the Bnei Yisrael were coming upon the Binyamin cities, they were destroying the cities one after the other. Pasuk Mem Gimel, and we'll go just for another few minutes to finish the perek. Pasuk Mem Gimel Kitru Es Binyamin Hir Difuhu. So the Mefarshim explain there's a little bit of a poetic language here in the pasuk, but Kitru Es Binyamin means that they encircled Binyamin like a keter, like a crown. They crowned Binyamin, and the Malbim says that really this was on three sides, that they had encircled Shevet Binyamin and besieged Shevet Binyamin. They have this one side towards the desert, but even that, Menucha Hidrichuhu, that they ended up trapping them right near their cities. They did not get very far. Shevet Binyamin did not get all the way to the desert. They didn't get very far. Adnocha Chagiva Mimizrach Shamesh, they were just east of Giva, and they were trapped. Shevet Binyamin was trapped. And at that point, of course, once they're trapped, so now they're just sitting ducks for the Jewish army. Memdalad Vayiplu Mi Binyamin Shimona Asar Elef Ish Es Kol Eila An Sheichayil. So the Bnei Yisrael defeat Shevet Binyamin and they kill 18,000 men. 18,000 soldiers. Interesting that this number is the same number as the 18,000 of Bnei Yisrael that were lost in the second battle. It's an interesting parallel. And then Pasuk Mem Hey Vayifnu Vayanusu Amidbara El Sela Harimon. So the remaining soldiers from this 18,000 were killed. The remaining soldiers continue to run and flee towards the desert. They get to this place called Sela HaRimon, the Rock of Rimon, via Oluluhu Bamasilos, and they continue. The Mefarshim say, like Olulos, when it comes to grapes, means they continuously pound them, they continuously defeat them one after the other, or it's the remainder. Olulos were the remaining grapes in the field that were kind of gathered after the farmer had been through the field and harvested his crop. So these were the remaining grapes. So these were the remaining soldiers that were still left, and Bnei Yisrael now defeated them by Masilos on the roads, at the intersections. Chameshes Alofim Ish, they defeated an additional 5,000 men. Vayadbik Acharav ad Gidom, and they stuck with them until this place called Gidom. Vayakumi menu al Paimish, and they killed another 2,000 men at that point. So now the total, says the pasuk Memva, Vayikol anoflim mi Binyamin esrim v'chamisha elef ish. The total that was killed from Binyamin were 25,000 men. Sholef cherev bayomahu eskol eila an sheichail. All these were soldiers. Rashi points out that there are some numbers that were missing. There's 100 that's missing here, because we talk about in the earlier pasuk we mentioned 25,100. Here it only says 25,000, so the 100 it kind of leaves out. There's a medrash that's in parentheses in Rashi which says that they fled, which we mentioned last week, that there's another discrepancy here of a thousand, because they started off with 27,100 and we only talk about 26,000, so there's a thousand missing. So some of the Mefarshim say that this thousand fled, much like Rashi is saying with this hundred. Some other Mefarshim say that the thousand were just killed in battle. You know, there were three battles here, so they lost, the first two battles. We don't talk about any casualties from Shevet Binyamin, but the Mefarshim say presumably there were some. So maybe this thousand, maybe it was 500 and 500 or whatever the case was, but maybe this thousand were the casualties of Shevet Binyamin at that time. Pasuk, so the Malbim actually says, interestingly, on this pasuk, he says that the 1,100 that are missing, the 1,000 plus the 100, so he says either they were killed in earlier battles like we just mentioned, or interestingly, the Malbim says that perhaps they were found later hiding in caves. That after the battles were done, Bnei Yisrael were still in the area, and they were looking for the remaining soldiers of Shevet Binyamin who had hid, and some of them were hiding in caves, and they found them and they killed them in the days and weeks that followed this battle, and perhaps that number added up to about 1,100. That's the Malbim suggestion. Pasuk Mem Zayin, Vayifnu Vayanusu Amidbara El Sela Harimon Sheish Meos Ish. All that's left here at this point is 600. Because again, we started with the 27,100. So all that's left here is the 600. Vayeshvu b'sela rimon arba chadashim. This 600 ended up escaping, and they make it to Sela HaRimon, and they settle there for 4 months. Pasuk Mem Ches v'ish Yisrael shavu el b'nei v'nyamin v'yakum lefi cherev meir misom ad behema. So the Jewish army turns around. They don't pursue this 600. I'm not sure if they knew about them or didn't know about them, but they don't pursue them anymore. Once they've killed the 25,000, they turn around and they go back to the other cities of Shevet Binyamin, and they continue to kill members of Shevet Binyamin in those cities. They kill the people, they kill the animals, they're destroying everything. Ad kol hanimtza, gam kol ha'arim hanimtzos shilchu ba'esh, and all of those cities that they destroyed, they lit on fire and they burned the cities down after they destroyed them. This is a very tragic perek because it really describes a civil war, and there's perhaps nothing. No greater tragedy for a nation than civil war of, you know, brothers fighting against brothers, and here Bnei Yisrael fighting against Shevet Binyamin. It's Baruch Hashem extremely uncommon in Jewish history to have stories of civil war and Jews fighting against Jews. This is one of those tragedies. But I think the lessons of this parak are extremely clear, because Bnei Yisrael was in the right, as we see at the end. Perhaps they went about it in the wrong way. Perhaps they were punished for previous sins. And that's maybe why they lost the first two battles. But we see in the end that they were in the right, and they won that third battle. And I think the underlying theme here is the responsibility for a group, the responsibility in this case of Shevet Binyamin, to take responsibility for its members, to take responsibility for its people. And if something was done wrong in Shevet Binyamin, you have to bring them to justice. You have to respond, you have to hold them accountable, and you have to be able to root out the evil from among you. And you can't just say, I'm going to turn a blind eye, what happened. Excuse me, they're thugs, they're criminals. That's not the mainstream, it doesn't matter. Even if it's not the mainstream, even if they were thugs, they were criminals, you have to bring them to justice, you have to hold them accountable, and you have to set the record straight and make known that this type of thing cannot be tolerated. This type of abuse cannot be tolerated. And that's one of the important lessons of this civil war. That's really what led to this civil war, is not even so much the tragedy of Pilagish Begiva. That was a terrible incident. But had Binyamin stepped up and held the people accountable, had they stepped up and rooted out the evil and made sure that such a thing would never happen again, we wouldn't have had the civil war. The civil war was really a direct result of the inaction of Shevet Binyamin, of Shevet Binyamin not holding these people accountable, and for that they were punished, and for that we lost tens of thousands of Jews, both from Bnei Yisrael and from Shevet Binyamin, in this tragic, tragic perek. Thank you for joining Emir Tzah Hashem. Next week, we will continue with the final perek of Sefer Shoftim, perek Chaf Aleph, and really the aftermath of this civil war. Have a wonderful evening.